Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, DJ Foster. For today's show, it's Friday. If this is your first time listening to the show, I apologize in advance. We're going to do a little something special today. We're going to do a little Q&A. I sent the call out on Twitter. I wanted your guys' questions. I wanted to see what's on your mind before the Clippers season starts. You guys sent me some questions, so we're going to hit on that. We're also going to talk about Paul Pierce firing shots at Kevin Durant. Some ill-advised shots. We're going to get to that a little bit later, though. But first, I want to start with this. If you haven't subscribed to the Locked On Clippers podcast, please do so. We're on iTunes. You can look us up, Locked On Clippers. Just give us a 5-star rating while you're there. Give us a little review. It helps out tremendously. It really helps when we're looking to get guests. We've got some really good guests lined up for you. Nate Duncan, I'm going to play you an excerpt of an interview that I did with him for his podcast, Dunked on Basketball. I'm going to give you a little bit of that. We talked a full hour of Clippers basketball, a preview for the upcoming season. We also have Ian Levy coming up. We have Jordan Hymer scheduled for next week. We have Justin Verrier in line down the road. We've got some really good guests coming up. But if you like the show, you're enjoying it, you've subscribed, please throw me that rating, send a review. I love to hear your guys' feedback. If you have questions for the show, at FosterDJ3@gmail.com or at FoxSportsFoster at Twitter. Thank you guys for all your support. It's Friday. It's been a fun week, man. That last preseason game was a wild one. I was explaining it to a friend, and he couldn't believe it. DeAndre Jordan getting ejected from a preseason game for storming the court prematurely. That was a lot of fun. But let's get right into the show. Let's get started here. We have the one big thing today. We're going to talk about Paul Pierce's comments on Kevin Durant. So getting right into it, this was kind of the big story of the week for the Clippers. It's something that Paul Pierce said in an interview with SiriusXM. I'm going to read you the direct quote from Paul Pierce. He said, in regards to Kevin Durant, he said, I could have left Boston years ago, but I stuck it out. I just feel like when you're that close as a competitor, you don't go join the team that just pushed you out. That's just me personally. But we're living in a day and time where there's a new generation. Guys, I don't think they're as hungry or competitive as my generation was. And that's why you'll probably see more of that. End quote from Paul Pierce. Firing some shots at Kevin Durant. Here's my take on that. And when I saw this, it made me upset, honestly. I'm a Clippers fan. I've followed the Clippers for a long time. I am not one to side with Draymond Green. I don't love the Warriors, obviously. I'm a Clippers fan at heart, even though I covered the team objectively. I try and maintain this unbiased stance. I've watched the Clippers for years and years and years now. So my heart is with them. But Paul Pierce's comments were absurd. And there's just something that rubs me really wrong when people talk about my generation. Paul Pierce is about 10 years older than Kevin Durant. And he's saying, my generation, we don't do that. They're not as hungry. They're not as competitive. They're not as tough as my generation. And to me, it just rings as a bunch of BS. Because it's the same thing that every person in their late 30s, their early 40s says about people 10 years younger than them. And it's bogus. I coach high school basketball. I spend a lot of time with kids that are 10, 12, 14, 15 years younger than me. They are hungrier. They are smarter. They are more in tune with what's going on in the world than my generation was. You never hear people talking about, oh, this generation just kind of gets it. They're smart. They weigh things. They really think about their decisions before they make them. I am endlessly impressed with the kids that I deal with. And this is not just the teams that I coach. This is the kids from all high schools. They come up to you, shake your hand. They look you in the eye. These are things that we didn't do in my generation. I just think it's so silly to think, to hold this idea that your generation is tougher and better and, oh, we didn't join other teams when they beat us and all these different things. Here's my take on the Kevin Durant situation. And I haven't really dived into this too much, and I probably should have done it earlier. There is nothing wrong with a guy who has spent 8 years in Oklahoma moving to San Francisco, one of the most sought-after cities in the world to live in, to play with a basketball team that gives him the best chance at winning a championship, and to play a style of basketball that everyone holds on a pedestal as being the most fun, the best way to play basketball right now there is in the NBA. You're going to grill that guy? You're going to say he's not hungry? He's not competitive? No, he is hungry. He is competitive. He wants to win a championship. And as a free agent, it's his right to go wherever he wants to try and win that championship. Maybe Clippers fans don't like this. Maybe they're on the Paul Pierce's side. I know that some people think, oh, it's a coward's way out. They beat you, so you joined their team. I think that's all bogus. I think as a player, you deserve every right to go to the team that you think gives you the best chance, the place that you want to be the most, the city you want to live in, the teammates you want to have, the style of basketball you want to play, the role you want to be in. You should be able to do that. I'd like to think that we're over that in 2016. The NBA players making their own minds up and playing basketball where they want to play, but we're not. We're not over it. And Durant has become this villain, and I don't support all the decisions that Kevin Durant makes. He has a tattoo of Rick James on his thigh, for God's sake. I'm not saying he makes all flawless decisions, but if you were a free agent and you wanted your best chance at an NBA title, which is what, as fans, we kind of bark about, we want players to be winners and we want them to be competitive and we want them to try and win the title as best they can, why wouldn't you join Golden State? It's just silly to me. It's silly to me, and it really upsets me that Paul Pierce in particular says this. Now, I support every NBA player to talk, to speak their mind. I like it when they show their real opinion, that they don't pull punches, they don't give us this PC answers, they don't just blah, just spit out this media stuff, these safe answers that aren't fake, aren't what they really feel. I'm glad that Paul Pierce is saying what he really feels, but Paul, you don't play anymore. Why are you going to poke the beast like this? You don't need to upset Kevin Durant. You don't need to add extra fuel to the fire of the Clippers and Warriors series. You don't play. You're not going to cover Kevin Durant for 36 minutes a night. Why are you doing this? Why do you need to say anything about it at all? Draymond Green had some comments, some predictably silly comments. Here's what Draymond Green said about Paul Pierce's comments. He said, "You got all these guys talking like Paul Pierce dude, nobody cares what you did or what or who you did it for. Just give it a break. Draymond went too far, as he usually does. Paul Pierce is a Hall of Famer. He deserves respect. Like I said, he deserves the right to speak his mind. I'm not taking Draymond's side here, but I am so sick of people criticizing free agents who have every right to join whatever team they like. Kevin Durant gave his all for Oklahoma City. He played hard. He did everything he could. It's not his fault that the team made a terrible, ill-advised trade of James Harden for spare parts because they were too cheap. And part of me actually likes that Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City because the owners of Oklahoma City, Clay Bennett, screwed the city of Seattle by leaving when no one thought they did. When no one thought they would leave, they left. And Kevin Durant, maybe no one thought he would leave, and he left. So some of it feels like karmic justice to me. Paul, you're not in the position anymore. As sad as that may be, don't give the generational thing because you're an old player now. You don't know what you would have done in his spot. You didn't have that situation. That situation didn't come up for you. You played for three different teams. You went to Washington. You play for the Clippers now. It's just, to me, it feels like demeaning a player that it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary to me. And like I said, you're poking the beast when you won't have to deal with the beast. Luke Richard and Bahamute is going to have to cover Kevin Durant, not you. Why are you weighing in? It's fine that you're weighing in, but I don't know. This really rubbed me the wrong way. I'm perfectly fine with Kevin Durant's decision. I was perfectly fine with LeBron James' decision. And if we're really going to judge the two against each other, Kevin Durant is doing a hell of a lot better than LeBron James is. As far as rubbing people the wrong way and making, we're going to win three, we're going to win four, we're going to win five rings. Kevin Durant's not doing any of that. He just moved to a nicer city, a better place to live, with a better basketball team that gave him a better chance to win a championship. You can find villains elsewhere. In my mind, Kevin Durant isn't one of them. Let's move on to your Q&As here. I've ranted long enough about this. We got some good responses from you guys on Twitter. Thank you guys for sending in questions. The first one here, let's see, let's pull these up. The first one, fittingly, comes from @Kevin30LAC. He asks, is Paul Pierce going to give the Clippers anything this season? Or is he basically just an assistant coach? No, would be my answer. That's the incredibly short answer. The long answer I'll give you because, Kevin, I like you. I know you. I remember you. You have a great avatar of the dude on the cover of Time magazine. And I appreciate that. Is Paul Pierce going to give the Clippers anything? I'd like to think that the floor for Paul Pierce's performance was last season. I don't see how much worse it can get. And I talked about this with Nate Duncan. Can it really get that much worse? Probably not. My guess is he'll shoot a little bit better. He'll be a little bit more efficient. But in general, no, he's not a player that the Clippers are going to rely on during the regular season for anything more than spot minutes. I highly doubt he'll make a difference in the playoffs unless Doc Rivers goes all Vinny Del Negro and just things are going poorly and he throws him out there for 20 minutes and just kind of sees what happens. I just don't see it. Look, Pierce has had an incredible career and I don't want to... I know I was kind of tough on him, like, a minute ago when I was talking. Paul Pierce has been tremendous for the NBA. He is a no-doubt Hall of Famer. He has an important role on the Clippers as a mentor, as, like you said, kind of an assistant coach, a player that has a lot of knowledge that he can pass on. He shot 36% from the field last year. 31% from three. He was, by just about every advanced analytics stat out there, he was one of the worst small forwards in basketball. He's 39. He just turned 39. You have to limit your expectations. I think he'll shoot a little bit better defensively and everything else. I have a really hard time seeing him be an effective factor on the floor for the Clippers. So to answer your question, no, I don't think Paul Pierce is going to make a difference. If the Clippers are relying on Paul Pierce and their rotation going into the playoffs, something went horribly wrong. Another question from @Kevin30LAC. He says, what is the ceiling for the Clippers defense this year? That's a great question. The Clippers defense, I think, is going to take a little step back. I think the starters will remain just how they are. Having the continuity between the lineup of Chris Paul, JJ Redick, Luke, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan, I think it'll help with those guys playing more minutes. Last year, they were sixth in defensive efficiency. I think this team is a top 10 defense no matter what. Even with the personnel, Doc's scheme is so strong, and they're smart defensively at this point. They may lose a little athletically with JJ and Chris Paul getting a year older, but I have a hard time seeing them fall out of the top 10 defensively. I think the biggest issue is how the bench is going to defend. Brandon Bass is a good defender, but he's just about the only good defender that the team added. Maurice Spates can't really move too much. He doesn't protect the rim, and you're going to be playing him at center for as great as he is offensively. If he's not taking charges on defense, he's kind of a disaster. Jamal Crawford is another year older. Austin Rivers is still a little hit or miss. We don't know who the second string small forward is going to be. Allen Anderson has shown some shaky defense so far in the preseason. So I don't think the second unit is going to defend terribly well, especially with Cole Aldrich out of the picture. I think he was big for them. Pablo Prigioni was a turnover machine at point guard. Losing those two guys, I think the defense in the second unit absolutely takes a step back. I don't think it's enough to drop the Clippers from sixth in defensive efficiency last year to outside of the top 10, though. I can see them taking a small step back, maybe the eighth or ninth best defense in basketball. But when you look at the offense, you look at all the talent coming off the bench, you look at all the scoring ability, this should, by all means, be a top five offense. And it's almost a failure if they're not a top five offense. Top three is certainly in the equation. There's a lot of offensive firepower on this team all of a sudden. So while I think they'll take a step back defensively because of the bench, I think the offense will get better this year. Next question. Woo-wee, we're rolling. Let's see here. We were rolling until I had to stop to pull up the questions. @Clippers asks, when is MeUndies sponsoring the podcast? Is it MeUndies? Is that how I say that? Or is it MeUndies? I googled that, unfortunately, and thanks for that, because some images of crotchless underwear popped up in my Google history. Always fun. But look, MeUndies, if you want to sponsor the podcast, I'm all in. I'll sell your undies. I'll sell your crotchless undies real quick. We'll turn this podcast into something that David Lockwood would never dream of. We'll do this. He also asks, do you think you can beat Chuck the Condor one-on-one in basketball? It's a good question. Chuck has incredible wingspan on the account of him being a bird. He also wears shoes, which makes me think he's a bird wearing shoes, which Zach Lowe hates, but if he's all sneaked up, he's probably ready to play at any time. I wear flip-flops a lot. So if he has sneakers on and I have flip-flops on, I'm at a natural disadvantage already. He's got wingspan, which is supposed to be one of my biggest advantages, and Chuck's got this incredible wingspan. He's around the team more than I am. He probably gets some tips from the players. He can dunk off a trampoline? I can't do that. I would tear my ACL again for the second time if I tried to do that. So, no, I can't beat Chuck the Condor one-on-one in basketball, even though he just looks like the owner in a mascot. He would probably smoke me. Have you guys ever seen a Benny the Bull? Type in, go do yourself a favor. Go rate the podcast first. And then go Google Benny the Bull highlights. Dude, Benny the Bull would mess your stuff up. He is such a crazy athlete. Like the dunks that he does off the trampoline. And he's nailing half court shots. And like the old Benny the Bull, because I guess they replaced him. The old Benny the Bull could hoop and would just like ruin your day. Next question from at Lawler's Law. This is the Lawler's Law from Clips Nation, I think. An old friend. He asks, do you think Austin Rivers gets moved before the trade deadline? If it was anyone that wasn't with the last name Rivers, yes, he would be a prime candidate to trade. Now, let's just pretend that he isn't Austin Rivers. He isn't the son of Doc Rivers, who's making all the decisions for the Clippers. Let's just pretend he's Austin Jones. Austin Jones would get traded for a small forward in a heartbeat because he's a young player who has improved every year, who still has some upward potential, who you could sell to a team for a veteran small forward, and it would make a lot of sense. He has a contract that can fit with just about any other contract. He's making about $12 million per year, so you can easily acquire a big-name player. Like, if Austin Rivers' name was Austin Jones, he would have been traded for Rudy Gay, like, yesterday. But something tells me that Doc isn't actively shopping his own son. Like, I don't want to say there's absolute nepotism going on here, but you just, like, you... I don't know, we're in uncharted territory. You don't really trade for your own son in the first place. But do you trade your own son? Do you trade him away? It's so funny too, because again, if it wasn't Austin Rivers, if it was Austin Jones, Raymond Felton has looked pretty good in the preseason. Jamal Crawford is still there. Is Austin really all that useful for the Clippers? I don't think he gets traded. I have a really hard time seeing that happen. I would put it at about 95% he stays with the Clippers for the rest of the year. But it's a fun thing to think about, for sure. Those are your guys' questions. One more. Francis Adu Jr. on Twitter asks, what's your favorite minimum signing on the roster? Which has quickly become a good question. So when it started before preseason, I would tell you Brandon Bass. I'm still kind of on that train that Brandon Bass was the best minimum signing. I think Raymond Felton has had the best preseason out of all the minimum signings. But I think my favorite at this point, I'm changing my answer, is Maurice Spates. The guy is just walking points. I've been really impressed with his ability to take charges. He hasn't been great defensively, but his ability to get tough, to take charges, to mix it up underneath the glass a little bit, to post up, to get offensive rebounds. I really like Maurice Spates. I think he can fit in really well, and I think if you want to play him with the starters for certain minutes, he can get you some scoring. If something happens to JJ... If you need some extra outside shooting in the starting lineup somehow, if Blake gets in foul trouble, if DeAndre gets in foul trouble, Maurice Spates is going to be really useful for the Clippers. And just kind of as a general rule, I talked about this on the last podcast, but I like having guys that you know what they are. Maurice Spates is like Spencer Hawes and Brian Cook and all these different stretch bigs that the Clippers have tried. but he doesn't stop shooting, and he's confident, and he's actually a really good shooter. And he just, he goes out there every night, and he's going to try and score, and you know what he's going to do. His role isn't going to change. He's not going to change the style of play, no matter who he's playing with. And we saw this with the Warriors. He could play, he'd be on the court with Steph and Clay, and he's getting his shots, man. And there's something you can appreciate about that, about a guy. So I'm in on Maurice Spates. You do need to surround him with defenders. The Clippers don't have a rim protector in the second unit, which I think is going to be a bugaboo for them. But I'm in on Spates. I would say at this point, he's my favorite minimum signing. I haven't quit on Brandon Bass yet. Believe me, there's nothing that Brandon Bass has done to make me move off of him. But I've been really impressed by the way that Spates has played offensively so far this preseason. That's all the questions we had. If you have questions for the show, you'd like to hear them. Thank you guys for sending those. If you'd like to have your questions answered on the show, send me a tweet to @FoxSportsFoster. Thanks for listening, everyone. I had a great sushi dinner tonight and just came home and did a little potty. That's what I call my podcast, a little potty. You might not like that. This is just a show of you might not like things. You don't like my Paul Pierce take. You don't like that I call the podcast a potty. Send me an email at fosterdj3@gmail.com if you don't like the word potty. Hit me up on Twitter @FoxSportsFoster. We will be back on Monday. The Clippers play Monday and Tuesday, their final preseason games of the year. They play the Jazz on Monday night in Utah. We'll have the recap from that on Monday. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Have a good night.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.